Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.
What's good? We are back live from Vietnam, home of J. Cole, home of Dennis Smith Jr., home of Affion Crockett, home of Dennis L.A. White, Moray, and two-time Super Bowl champ Joshua Williams. How y'all feeling tonight?
Feeling good, man. Feeling real good.
I'm no longer sick, but I'm still trying to get my voice back.
Still need to get some sun, though.
Yeah, that too. Last week, we brought you a special guest. We had a producer on. We have PF Cut, and this week we're going to bring on another producer right now. He produced for the likes of Ludacris, 50 Cent, Dr. Dre, Kendrick Lamar, and much, much more. Let's bring him on, Drugs Beats.
Yo, what's up, man? How y'all doing, brothers?
Good, we good. Right.
It's good.
What's up? Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, we appreciate it, man. I'm going to let Mr. J start it off with the questions tonight because you're his guest that he set up tonight.
Okay, good.
What's good, man?
What's up, bro?
Good to have you on. We've been trying to get you on here, kind of missing back and forth.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Life busy, man. Especially me being like back and forth from like North Carolina to Los Angeles. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot going on, man. So yeah.
So, you know, on that tip, man, how do you feel about everything you got going on? How do you feel about the mold and the motion that you've been on?
I mean, well, you know, like I don't know, man. It's kind of a hit and miss. You know what I mean? Because you know, like, for like a lot of people who know, what was it, 2021, like I had like a major car accident that almost took my life, you know what I'm saying? To a point where I couldn't walk for a long time. Like I couldn't move. So it kind of like, you know, kind of took me away from the movement. And right when I was getting right back off in it, my granddaughter died.
Wow.
So like around like that time, and I was just like, I don't even want to be around. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to be around nobody. You know what I mean? So me going through like a kind of like a year of depression, you know what I'm saying? I kind of came out of it. Thank God. You know what I'm saying? You know, thankful to my homie House Shoes, who's always been in my corner. You know what I'm saying? My homie Focus, 3-Dot Focus. You know what I'm saying? A soundtrack, all my homies. Just really being in my corner, man. And, you know, the homie Exhibit and everybody, you know, it kind of helped me really just, you know, get back off into, I guess, what I was meant to do. You know what I mean? But, you know, thankful from that, you know what I'm saying? Right now, we got the number one song in 16 countries. So, you know.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
It all works out.
Just kind of give them a little bit of background on how you got started, you know? How you just.
Man, well, you know what I'm saying? I'm an 80s baby, bro. You know what I'm saying? I was born in 1980. You know, my mom was like my greatest inspiration. You know what I'm saying? Cause you know, like if you go back and look at like my earlier videos or whatever, You know, I explained to you, like, my mother taught me how to dig for records. Well, I don't think she knew what she was doing at that point in time. But, like, you know, she would give me such a history on artists and records and, you know, just vinyl, man. And you know, like, this was how me and my mother bonded, you know. She would take me to record stores, you know, like, I'm from Atlanta. So, me being from Atlanta, like, people who know, like, Turtles Records and stuff like that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my mom would take me off of the Turtles Records and Third World. Like, you have to be a real Atlanta cat to know what Third World Records is. You know what I'm saying? Like, Third World Records, like, the record store at that point in time, like, bro, like, in the 80s, they sold crack pipes in there.
What the?
Like, straight shooters. Like, wow. Like, Brillo pad, like, Brillos. Wow. All that, like, it was like a display next to the new Too Short tape. So when I mentioned Third World, if you was off into that, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying, like the DJ Edward J and all that. You know, I just grew up around that, man. You know, so you know, my mom, man. You know, my mom passed. You know. My mom passed in 09. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, before then, you know, I had access to all her records. Wow. My mom, she was something different, man. You know what I mean? Like she taught me, you know, like Candy Girl. The first time I heard Candy Girl, New Edition was from my mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, the first time I heard, you know what I'm saying? The first time I heard I Need a Beat, I didn't hear I Need a Beat, the original song. I heard I Need a Beat, the remix.
The remix.
Come on.
Wow. That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, when I heard that, I was, like, it was over for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was just what I wanted. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you had, like, back then, you know, you had, like, you know, you had the movies, Disorderlies, you know, the Fat Boys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You had Tougher Than Leather. You know what I'm saying? You had all these movies. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of cats think, like, Master P was, like, the first one to really come with, like, black movies.
Nah, it was way before that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Run DMC was doing that a long time ago.
Exactly.
Well, think of that, man.
Beat Street. Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? The Fever was putting on a lot of stuff at that point in time.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and my mom, man. My mother.
You know, see, she's been a heavy influence.
Heavy influence. My mother.
So let's delve into kind of how you got the placement. You know, one of your biggest placements on the Chronic, on the Compton soundtrack. Yeah.
I mean, me dealing with Dre, like, that was like in the pipeline for a long time. Like, it was inevitable. It was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But that came from me dealing with Focus. You know what I'm saying? Like, Focus, that's my brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, Focus, man. That's my brother. You know what I mean?
So, but, for people who may not be familiar with Focus, give a little background.
Focus 3 Dot. Focus 3 Dot. If you don't know who Focus 3 Dot is, that's like you not knowing who P-Rock is. That's like you not knowing who Jay Dilla is, man. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't know.
Man.
I ain't going front.
That guy. You don't know?
I'm not familiar with
him. I don't. I mean, really.
Shame on you, man.
Hey, shame on me, but I mean, I do not know who
shame
Focus
on you, man.
Never heard that name before.
What?
I mean, you put Focus as a comparison to if I don't know Focus, I don't know Pete Rock. I mean, I know Pete Rock. But I mean, I've never heard of Focus. What? Period.
I might have heard of him, but not be familiar with his music.
I mean, or maybe I know his music and don't know he did it.
That's okay. That makes sense.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I might know his music, but don't know he did it. I mean,
it'll be a lot of Dre beats.
Oh well, okay. Well, you're talking about Dr. Dre then. So that's a long line of producers that actually made the beats, and Dre took the credit for. So yeah,
you know, a lot of people say that, but not really so. That's not really how that. And you know, let me set that record straight. A lot of people say that, and that's kind of scary. You see what I'm saying? So because that's why I don't collab with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I don't collab, because later on it turns into,
I did this, you did that, you didn't do it.
Later
I did
it. It turns into a whole other different story versus us just jamming. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know why hip hop is really tagged with this. I mean, because, you know, hey man, you know, Parliament and Funkadelic, they all jam together, right?
Yep.
Why can't we do the same?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
Makes sense.
It turns into, with hip hop, I have to be like some type of individualist. It's just me who's doing all these things. And if I hire a keyboard player, I couldn't really play those keys like that. He was fluent in playing those keys like that. Because I hired him to play this for me. Now he's the producer. That's not how that works, man.
Can I say something?
That's not how that works. That guy's just a programmer. He programmed something. You know, I saw, you know, like how people look at Puff Daddy and think Puff Daddy didn't do nothing. That man was that brain. He told you what to do. You programmed it. You were just a programmer. He's the producer. He's the brain. He told you what to do, how to do it, how I want it. He's the producer. You're a beat maker. You're a programmer. That's it.
But
nothing else.
I mean, Puffy's a difference from that's different from someone like Quincy Jones that actually knows how to arrange stuff. I really kind of disagree on that point, because, you know, I mean, no disrespect to Puffy. I mean, he knows music and stuff like that, but at the same time, like, it's a difference between Quincy Jones telling you to play this like that when he's actually a musician than such and such telling you the
how this and that, and how I want those drums. How
I mean, you know, it's just me personally. To me, is a little bit different than putting Puffy as. I mean, if that's the case, you're putting Puffy in the same category as Quincy Jones. You can't do that.
I didn't do that. You did that.
No, I mean, I'm just saying. No. I mean, but you did say that. Quincy done the same. Beethoven done the same thing, and according to history, Beethoven was what? Was it Beethoven that was blind and deaf or whatever?
I believe so. Man.
Totally different. All I said was.
But if you could tell somebody to do something, does that make you a producer if you can't really play it? You know, I mean, you can't play 1,000 instruments. Like Quincy Jones could actually play instruments and really conduct an orchestra. Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones went from Frank Sinatra to Michael Jackson to beyond.
Why are you comparing Quincy Jones to Puffy?
because you said that because you brought up the producer thing, saying that we started off with Dr. Dre. You'll see. We started off with Dr. Dre.
Well, to kind of clear this up,
Yeah, yeah, yo, you're supposed to be interviewing drug beats, man. You over here debating with the man, yo. What's going on here?
I mean, I'm just going on what he said, though.
Bro, that's great. But he's like kind of like cherry picking. At the end of the day, I spoke of Puffy. You spoke of Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones is a seasoned producer. Mm-hmm. Who conducts orchestras.
Yep.
I'm speaking of Puffy, who told a person, I want this sample to sound like this. I want the drums to sound like this.
I feel all that.
So what's wrong with that?
What I'm saying is, there's nothing wrong, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, but if that's the case, then Puffy and Quincy's on the same thing.
No, they're not. That's not.
Yo, okay. Man, we here to do it.
That's what you wanted to be, bro. That's what you don't want to be. That's not even.
It's interesting. I think
you're kind of reaching. But okay.
It's an interesting thing because he's a producer as well. You have two producer discussions on there on what exactly.
What makes you a producer? What makes you a producer? You being able to program something does not make you a producer, bro. I can tell you.
I know that. Yeah, I know that part. Yeah.
I can tell you what to do. I can say I could not know how to work the MPC at all. I can simply say, I want this at this bar, this here, blah, 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 blah. Can you piece this together for me? That makes me the producer.
I know that.
Programmer, bro. You're just programming what I asked you to do.
I mean, I have a different take on that. Bar. I mean, because with hip-hop, you're saying hip-hop is on a different standard than everything else.
Not really. But when we're dealing with samples and drums, yeah. If I say I'm making a tribute to Big and I want you to sample, what do you sample? I'm missing you.
Yeah, he samples Sting. Sting, yeah.
Right. Bro, that's like already a made song. You know what I'm saying? I asked you to sample that. I asked you to make the drums this way. So when you see Puffy's name as a producer, he's the producer because he asked you to do what he asked you to do. And that's what that is. Now, when we're speaking about Quincy Jones, who conducts orchestras and symphonies and shit, that's a whole other beast.
But he's still telling somebody to play this cello, play this violin.
Trail, man. We ain't got all night to debate this, man.
I didn't say he wasn't the producer, though. I didn't say Quincy Jones didn't produce anything.
All right, we'll move on. I mean, I'm not debating. I mean, it ain't a problem. I'm just saying. Like,
let's get back to the actual journey.
You got some questions for the man. I got a question. What is it like to work with one of the greatest beat pickers in the world, 50 Cent?
Oh, man. 50, we just had like a great relationship. I used to just really hang around him all the time. But my main guy was Lloyd Banks.
Lloyd Banks?
Okay. Lloyd, man. Like, we were kind of, like, locked in at a point in time. And just, I think we came at a point in time. Go ahead.
I didn't say nothing. Somebody had something going in the background. Yeah,
we came at a point in time, I think, where they were just, like, going bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of things was really going on, and a lot of things was really going on, you know, like as far as like the beef that they had off in the street, you know, with Lodi Mac. Like I came at a point in time where, you know, like me chilling with Lodi Mac and all them, and things just went bad. Like when Lodi Mac was murdered, it all just went bad. You know what I'm saying? And like it was kind of like that was it. You know what I'm saying?
So like so a lot you would of say stuff, that was the downfall of G Unit. Is when that happened.
I kind of think that was in a chamber before Lodi Mac's dying, Lodi Mac's path. But like that was kind of like what I thought was like the final straw. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of things that me and Lloyd Banks had going, like it was dead. Like you can go on YouTube right now and type in Lloyd Banks when I'm gone. Like, and I don't even know how that beat got leaked. But like that was a thing that got cleared. The samples got cleared. And it was supposed to go on his last album, Rotten Apple. But it didn't go. Because that, you know, they was just really going through a lot of stuff at that time.
I got one more for you, too. Like, who's an artist that you've always wanted to work with that you haven't worked with yet?
I would have to say Drake.
Drake?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. I would have to say Drake. I mean, because, you know, I would like to challenge myself. And, you know, I like to challenge artists. You know what I'm saying? If I can give something really grimy to Drake, that'd be beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like a next one was in my chamber would be Busta Rhymes. You know? Okay. But we had a lot of situations that just really, like I said, like, you know, I was kind of like involved in our whole camp. But the shit just went left. You know what I'm saying? So then I just kind of went with Dre. You know what I'm saying? I just started really fucking with Dre. And, you know, House Shoes, man, is my brother. I love this man. I can't preach that enough. I love House Shoes, man. And, yeah.
Trill, you got a question for Drugs Beats without debating them?
No, I mean, first of all, you know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't a debate. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Yeah, it works. It's all good.
I mean, a non-producer would understand what we're talking. You know what I mean? I mean, this right here is a debate between producers all the time. Like,
right.
what do you call producing? Now, first of all, I mean, I'm not against nobody. Like, I can't play a bass guitar. Mm. But if I want to remake a bass guitar without sampling, I'm going to call in the bass guitarist.
Yeah.
And tell them to play it. You know what I mean? But then, right. You know, I mean, but you know. But anyway, like,
oh, no, wait, hold on, wait, stop. But what does that make you?
I mean, of course, I mean, like, if I tell them what to play, I mean, but now as a musician, I mean, question. But you don't say, but as a musician, though, Puffy can't even play nothing.
Okay, but what does that make you? Your original statement of, I need a bass player, I can't play bass, I need somebody to come play this bass for me. What does that make you?
That makes me the person telling him to play this bass. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, that makes you the producer. Right. Well, I mean, but it makes you, I mean, but you know, but I mean,
does that,
yeah.
Does that make you the producer?
Yeah.
You,
I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
No, hold on, wait. So you said,
I mean, if I could tell somebody the notes to play, that makes you, I mean, but if you could just be like, yo, just do this.
Right. Okay. So basically, if you hire someone, which is a work for hire, as producers, we know what this means as well, right?
Okay, well, we're still talking about hip hop, right?
Yes, we're talking about hip hop.
Okay.
Work for hire. If I hire this guy, I say I don't know how to play bass, but this motherfucker right here, he plays bass well. I'm gonna hire him to play this bass for me. What does that make you?
Okay, so we're still talking about hip hop. I'm just saying. I'm asking that. You know what I mean? Because so. Okay, so if we still talk about hip hop, so why is it frowned upon? So
rock artist.
You just said you wanted to work with Drake, but Drake is getting criticized for not writing his rhyme. So why is it different for the rhyme part of the hip hop aspect than the beat making? I mean,
how we get there from there?
I'm just saying it. I mean, that's why I keep saying, like, well, why are we still talking about hip hop? Are we still talking about hip hop?
We were talking about production. How are we talking about writing now?
Okay, so it's cool for Dr. Dre to have Scott Storch make a beat. So it ain't cool for Drake to have nobody write his rhymes.
I don't even know how we got there. I didn't say that. I'm just doing the contrast
on it. Like, you know what I mean? If we're talking about production,
I ain't even talk about
I just kept asking what we talking about hip hop.
Hey, bro, listen. If you're gonna make it work for you, bro, make it work for you.
Hey, I'm just saying, I'm just asking the question though. All I said was in hip hop, things seem to work differently in hip hop. People look at hip hop different than a band
It is what it is, man.
You know what I mean? Nobody questions a band.
You said they look at it different than hip hop.
They look at hip hop different than like rock and roll or pop. You know, say like nobody
talking about individual effort is what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Nobody
don't look at that no different.
I mean, nobody cares who produced that rock band or whatever. Nobody cares about that. But when it comes to hip hop, they expect the rapper to write all their rhymes and they expect the producer to make the whole beat. That's all I'm saying.
Hold on, wait.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Hold on, wait. You know what? You're right though.
That's all I'm saying. Like you know what I'm saying? Like it's fucked up that
you expect the MC to write all his rhymes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and in hip hop, you expect the producer to make all the whole beat. And like, you know, like collaborations is not accepted. Collaborations is not accepted in hip hop.
I don't expect the producer to make the whole beat.
When it comes to producers and making, I do not. I don't look at it that way. Especially with me.
I never said I looked at it. I'm just saying like the perception in the public. I never said I looked at it that way.
We ain't here to talk about the perception in the public. We here to talk about drugs beats.
Hold on, wait. No, bro. He's good. I love the conversation he's giving me right now.
I'm just
it's good. Because at the end of the day, if this is our perception, we got to change that.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying that. That's my perception. I'm just saying the perception in hip hop. Yeah.
If you're telling me as me making an infectious melody, a melody that's driving, is driven, and you don't respect it because it didn't come from just my brain alone versus four other great motherfuckers, you telling me, in which I don't really believe that, because if we look at my homie, this is my guy, Anderson .Paak. If we look at Anderson and we look at everything he's collabing with, we don't look at him like that. This man has done shit with Knowledge. He's done shit with fucking everything. We don't look at him like that. You know why?
He's not a rapper.
Music.
Exactly. But you know what I'm saying? The, what I'm trying to say is like with hip hop is always singularized to just hip hop. It's not considered as just music. I mean, that's all I'm saying. Like, I mean, I don't have nothing against what you're saying. What I'm saying is, like, in hip-hop, you have to write your rap, and you have to make the beat. Other than that, people talking shit about you. Like, they talk shit about Dre. They talk shit about Matty Fresh. You know what I mean? Like, everybody know all these people's, like, they got a farm of people that's making the music, and they're not playing it themselves. That's all I was saying.
Drake passed off himself as a real MC.
I mean, he's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Okay, hold on, wait. But they're gonna challenge you on that. If you pass yourself as a real MC, you don't think they would challenge Black Thought? If you found out Black Thought had a writer, what would you do? What would you say right now?
I wouldn't believe it. You can't write that shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, I don't even believe Drake. I only believe Drake got a writer, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, Drake is, well, so.
Y'all didn't believe Benzino had a writer with that well, dude from Memphis.
Come on, dog. Benzino has to have a writer. You talking about Benzino. You know what I'm saying? That's like last week when.
Yo, I love Benzino, man. Yo, bro. Yo. Look, give it up to Benzino, bro.
Anyways, you know what I'm saying? Paul over there getting mad, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we have a producer talk, you know what I'm saying? They can't understand. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Let me get to my questions. All right.
We ain't got too much time. You going over the time limit.
So, like I asked everybody, what was your first equipment you used? You know what I'm saying? That's my favorite question to ask anybody that do beats. I always want to know what's the first thing they use to make a beat.
Scratchmaster mixer that had an 8-second sampler, and I had a tape deck, a double tape deck. And what I would do was I would loop up the beat in my mixer, and I would record it on one tape. Then I would find a sample, and I would do a bunch of crazy
pause tapes.
You know what I'm saying? But hey, but. Real shit, like I didn't have my own real equipment, man. Till after that 50 Cent placement, like I didn't have my own MP. I didn't have nothing.
And for those who don't know, what song was that?
That was the 50 Cent. I just wanna. I just wanna. Right. Like that. That check bought me my equipment. Yeah, and
what was that? And
with that check. I still didn't have a lot, right? So it's something legendary floating out there. But this shit is truly legendary. I didn't have like Pro Tools and shit. All I had was a MPC and a Triton, right? And I didn't have a mixing board, but I had an old school Gemini mixer. I kind of flipped into a mixing board. So what I did was I had to make these beats, man. I have so much porn out of my mind. My mother had just died, you know? So this is like 2009, 2010. And I left Atlanta. Like, I was done. Atlanta. So much was going on. All my people was dying, man. We were all going to jail and shit. So, like, the last time I came out of jail, I moved to North Carolina, right? But I took that last check and I bought me an NPC. I bought me a couple of things. I really bought majority like this fucking records, bro. I just went like ham on this buying like vinyl. And I made this beat tape, right? But I didn't have nothing to record it on. So I had like one of those TVs, you know? Like the TV. They had like the VCR and the TV.
Yeah, built in, and yeah.
And the TV. So I got like this whole 6-hour beat tape on VCR tape. I go back and listen to it, man. Bro, I cry listening to that shit sometimes. This is some of my best work. And I think I'm going to put that out one day, man. You know what I'm saying? Just to... You know, like, but you can Google, you can Google it because some people talk about it, because some people heard it. You know what I'm saying? Because I was able to get some of it down to disc, but like only half of it. You know what I mean? So like a lot of people heard a couple of people heard of it, and was like, "Yo, you need to put that shit out, man." But I think I'm really gonna put that shit out.
Put it out. You're saying. Like I was about to say, you know what I'm saying? One of my questions was, I've been listening to the Leftovers on your SoundCloud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they dope. You know what I mean? Keep hip hop alive. You know what I'm saying? I like the chops and all that stuff like that. You know what I mean? I can hear the chops and stuff like that people don't hear. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Unless they're their producers. Hey, so, I mean, I like it. I like it. Yo, would you use the 2000 still?
Nah, XL. I'm still on the XL, man. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, my thing is more Pro Tools. But like, you know, like Leftovers, but that's like, oh, that's like 4 years old. It's like 5 years old. You know what I'm saying? I just dropped a joint on a Bandcamp called Above. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, y'all go cop that, look out for that. You know what I'm saying? That's much more updated beats. You know what I'm saying? Some real dope shit. You know what I'm saying? That's up on there, man. You know what I'm saying? So definitely gonna check that out. But yeah, definitely for, you know, thanks for the love, man, and peeping that out, man. Leftovers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been listening to them all day. Both of them. Leftovers, you know, one and two.
Crib.
Yeah, like I said, I've been listening to Leftovers one and two. So it's some dope shit on there. So yeah.
Yeah, damn. I kind of forgot about them joints, man. That though was more like that was like, oh, yo, appreciate it, bro.
Yeah,
like that's old shit, man.
I mean, I like the style. You know what I'm saying? Similar to mine. So you know.
Yeah, I stopped posting beats online, man, because you look, bro. You look up, man. Motherfuckers have whole albums on your shit, man. And yeah. dudes is like so brave. Like dudes just send me like, yo, check out what I did to you. It's like, motherfucker, I sell beats. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fucking father, motherfucker.
Yeah, like,
support, support me, motherfucker.
So I don't
know that. I know that tip, man. See
your whole album of your shit.
I don't post no more music no more.
And on that tip, man, I appreciate you getting. You know what I'm saying? I got that Battlefield joint on my album that I went and bought from you. So appreciate it. Me and my brother did a joint called Battlefield on Drugs Beats and on the One Heartbeat Away album.
You see what I'm saying? So you haven't even dropped Battlefield yet.
It's on the album right now. It's streaming right now.
You know, hold on, wait. And I'm speaking of that whole VCRB tape. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the beats I made on that VCRB tape.
It's dope. That's a dope beat.
So thank you, man. You know what I mean? But we can, bro, let's link up for some new shit. But I got something that's going to,
Yeah, we definitely got to make something happen. I got the underground experience popping. So we definitely got to make something happen for that soundtrack.
My man, I'm with you. Let's get it.
All right, so I guess we're going to wrap it up. We got to get into these topics, man. We got like four topics still to do. So it's going to be a long night for us. We appreciate you coming on, man. And I definitely love that Ludacris track. That Ludacris track is so fire, yo.
Oh, you talking about the motherfucker you buy that?
Yeah.
You know the story behind that?
Nah, tell us.
So you know, which is my brother now, because there was a point in time, like, motherfuckers was trying to kill Killer Mike over that.
Oh, shit.
Where he jacked that beat from Ludacris. Damn. That beat was supposed to go on Ludacris's Theater of the Mind.
Oh, wow.
And it was a beat that I was like playing in a lot of beat battles. I won a lot of beat battles with that beat. You know what I'm saying? And it was something I threw the little, you know, I threw the Luda. It was going on his album. But my homie Rocky D the Legend. Now, a lot of people don't know who Rocky D the Legend is. Rocky D the Legend, if you know the song Kryptonite,
mm-hmm.
he was the first one on the song Kryptonite. Mm. Right. Purple Ribbon. Which I had a big relationship with them. One of my beats is the reason why Killer Mike and Big Boy from Outkast fell out.
Damn.
Because I got shit with Big Boy from Outkast too. We were all homies at a point in time. You know what I'm saying? So right when that beat was copped up by Ludacris, man, Rocky D the Legend recorded to the beat and put big boy, fucking what's the name on it. and they put that on his album, Allegiance to the A, which almost kind of ruined my career at that point in time. Huh. You know what I'm saying? Like, he really hurt me. Like, he really, 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 like, Killer Mike really hurt at that point in time. And which I caught up with him later in point in time, because there was no really no point in suing him, because he didn't have no money. You know what I'm saying? He was broke. So it was no point in me suing him, on me even going after him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I caught up with him 5 years later. You know what I'm saying? He spoke on, you know, it wasn't him, it was his people and this and that. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, he broke bread and he fine, you know, he only paid me $500 for it. But it wasn't really about the money to me. You know what I'm saying? It was about just making that shit right. You know what I'm saying? Because, man, these dudes out here, man, they really play with producers' lives, man. And I see this every day. You know what I'm saying? It just happened to my homeboys fucking with Kool & Dre. Like, that's why I don't like Kool & Dre. I don't like Kool & Dre. I don't like these fat motherfuckers, man. And I'm fat too, but I don't like these fat niggas, man. Like, these motherfuckers are like bad fucking people. And they keep using these young boys to rob them of their publishing, their fame, rob them of it, of everything. And what they just did to the missionaries, man. I really don't like these dudes. I don't fuck with Meek Mill. I don't fuck with Fat Ross and that shit. And what they keep doing, what they did was wrong. You know what I'm saying? But, bro, I've dealt with this shit so many times dealing with these motherfuckers, man. I've dealt with this shit so much. Bro, every big placement I've had, I kind of found out later on. You feel what I'm saying? Like every placement I had, except for 50 Cent and Dre, where they handled they shit right. Everything else I found out later on. You know how I found out? A motherfucker hit me on Facebook and was like, "Yo, congratulations! Congratulations for what? What are you talking about?" Boom! Motherfucker, I've already made a video of this shit. My beat, like everything, everywhere. It's like, well, what the fuck?
I mean, how do you get your beats, though?
When we gonna call my management? When we gonna call any of us?
I mean, how did they get your beats, though? Like, I mean, you had to put it out there somewhere.
No. You're right. So this comes with sending your homeboys beats. Hmm.
Well, Paul, I sent you a whole folder.
Send your homeboy a whole folder, some shit, somehow. Griselda got some shit.
That's a Griselda. We only use the trailer noise on the podcast, so you good to go.
Yeah, nigga, it's some shit. And look, here's the thing, man. So I told old boy, you know what? You talking all this crazy shit. I don't even want that money. I'd rather have a fade. Just give me a fade. Just me and you. Just 15 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes in a room with you, and we even. With that whole shit with the Griselda and the Worry joint on Comrie Presents, motherfucker took my shit. I don't even know how he got my beat.
Wow.
I don't know how they got that shit. It's on that project to this day. It's put on a project now. They had me submit some shit. I just a $500 payment. I don't even want that money, nigga. Fuck that money. I don't need that shit. But that shit your homeboy talking. And he fucking keep talking. Man, just put me in a room with him. And you can keep that money. And that's me saying that shit on the record. Like, I ain't post that shit nowhere. It ain't gonna be nowhere. I ain't gonna promote that shit nowhere, nigga. And everybody know that beat. But that shit you talking, bro. Bro, this just, man, this just me and you. This is just me and you.
Yeah.
You know what salt smells like?
Turn off both of those eyes on the stove.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're about to wrap it up, man. We appreciate you coming on. We still got a whole hour to go, probably, of topics.
My brothers, man, thank y'all for having me. I appreciate you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
please have me again.
We will. We will. Anytime you want to come on, just let us know.
Oh, for sure, brothers.
All right. Well, you're nice.
We'll make some happen.
Love.
All right. Peace. All right, fellas. I don't know if Mutate Guy's going to make it. But before we get into the topics, we got to play this tribute for the first topic, and it's for Boss. We'll be back in like a minute. What's good? We are back. Wow. Mike. That was a 51-minute interview right there, dude.
Hey, look, though. You know what I mean? Like, y'all need to understand, like, if we're going to bring producers on, I'm have.
We can't have you on, man. We can't have you on, man. You made it too damn long.
I'm just saying, I mean, it wasn't a debate. You know what I mean? I was going off what he said.
Yeah, but you ain't here to debate with him, man. You here to ask him questions to interview him, man. Yeah,
you can't compare Puffy to damn Quincy. Come on, man.
It doesn't matter, man. Right. You're not here to debate.
It does matter. It does matter. Come on now.
Man.
I mean, but anyway, yeah. What's the topic? Boss?
Yeah, we got a wild. Yeah, we got Boss. Y'all go ahead and start this one off.
I mean, well, you know. I mean, I was out there when she first came out or whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know her whole catalog, but you know, to me, she was the first gangster female rapper though. So I mean, she holds that title until you know, her career got shut down because they found out she was from the suburbs. You know what I mean? They found out that she wasn't from the streets like that. You know, but you know, at the same time, I mean, she still had a contribution to hip hop. So, you know, rest in peace.
Is she the first gangster female rapper?
I mean, as far as I know, yeah.
That's a
I'm talking about official gangster. Like, she had one song that was on, what movie was that? She had that one song, like, I don't give a fuck, not a single fuck. Not, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that was unheard of for a female rapper back then. So.
So just so you know, we're supposed to have another guest on later tonight, but he's got to wait a little bit longer now.
Who? What? You didn't tell us that.
Well, that's why we're not supposed to have hour-long interviews either.
Hey.
20, 30 minutes max, man.
Well, have me on with a rapper. I ain't got nothing to say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't see you debate P.S. Cut like that.
Hey, because he didn't compare Puffy to Quincy. You know what I'm saying? Puffy ain't no producer, man. Come on, dog. I don't care what nobody say. I mean, but, you know, we'll move past. You know what I'm saying? We're going to say, hey,
got,
look.
What Boss and her impact on hip-hop?
Well, bottom line for, you know, of course, rest in peace, Boss. She was one of the most popular female rappers of her era. She had a real impact when she came out. I think, you know, her impact is such that it's hard to say that you would have a Brat or a Young M.A. had there not been a Boss. I think it's difficult to say that without her. And for someone who had, she did have, I guess, an album later on in her career outside of the one she dropped on Def Jam. But that album, you know, the Boss album, it just had so much impact. And to this day, the recipe of on that joint is just one of those classic joints. I mean, it's interesting that it even outlived or outweighed her background. You know, people started finding out exactly, you know, that she wasn't exactly from the streets like that. She wasn't, you know, doing all these things, but she had been in the presence of so many other rappers, hardcore rappers, done stuff with Spice One, a collaboration with like Tretch, stuff like that. So her presence and her skill kind of outweighed her background.
And I will say that it's funny that today in 2024, that wouldn't fly. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, nowadays, all the dudes today, we know they're not real gangsters. They ain't out here in them streets. But it's funny that back in, what was that, like 93.
When she dropped the album.
You know what I mean? 93, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's back when hip-hop was official. Like, you had to be about what you was talking about.
That's when hip-hop was really starting to come forth, 93, 94,
that
sound came through.
That sound came through. You know, like I tell everybody, look, you know what I'm saying, 92 was the year that changed everything in hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? When Death Row, you know what I'm saying, when the Chronic and all that stuff came out, that changed everything. But, you know, it's funny how they canceled her back then, before cancel culture. And now they letting these niggas slide that ain't even about none of that life.
Well, because, you know, like, it's more commercial now.
You know what I mean? Like, her whole career got ended because of that. Like, whoever leaked the shit out that she wasn't from the street, she was from the suburbs, had a mom and a daddy. You know what I mean? Like, that was back then. Like,
that's wild, because, like, you know what I'm saying? Even if they were from the street, still had a mama and a daddy.
They grew up
for the hood or whatever. But
yeah, but she grew up with, I mean, she grew up with a mama and a daddy, and they canceled her because they found out that she really wasn't from the streets, which 99% of these dudes that's out here right now ain't from the streets, and ain't nobody canceled them. It's funny, though. Yep. She's the first rapper to get canceled. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Is she?
Yeah. She is the first rapper to get canceled because they found out she wasn't from the streets. Because her name, you know what I mean? Come on. She's the first rapper to get canceled.
I think Vanilla Ice got canceled somewhere.
No, he never got canceled. No, I mean, no. That's not the same thing. She got canceled for not being from the streets. They just didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't like Vanilla Ice just because he was white.
He got one
of the greatest songs in hip hop history. It's just because he white.
Whole background. He lied about his whole background, saying he was a gangster from Miami, and he wasn't even a gangster from Miami. He was a dancer from Houston.
I mean, but at the same time, he was a white rapper. So I mean, that you know what I'm saying? It makes it easier for you to cancel a white rapper. I mean, everybody still talks shit about Eminem because he's white, but he's one of the dopest MCs ever, but he's just white. You know what I mean? But Gangsta Boo, I mean, she's the first one to get canceled. I mean, do the research. All because they found out she was from the suburbs, and she came from a complete household with a mother and father. So she should not be rapping about that stuff because she comes from that background. She's the first rapper to get canceled. I mean, do the research. I did it. She got canceled just because of that.
And it's fucked up. They try to hold her to the same standards as the male rappers. Like, you know.
I mean, yeah, like I said, like, I mean,
like,
I mean,
females are supposed to be gangster like males all the time and shit, you know.
But my thing is, like, I mean, how many rappers are not gangster for real, for real?
Not a lot.
I mean, I've been in studio sessions with niggas that I know for a fact ain't doing nothing, but they, you know what I'm saying, they talking that talk, though. Hey, I'm gonna record it. Yeah, you pay me. I'm gonna record it, but I'm sitting back here like, Yeah, right, nigga. You know what I mean? Like, but you know, but it's funny how, you know what I'm saying, they held her accountable for not being from the streets when there was a lot of MCs not from the streets, though. She is actually the first MC to get canceled. I mean, do the research, the history on it.
All right, well, let's get to the next topic. Rest in peace, the boss. Are most rappers doing music for artistic integrity or for popularity?
Popularity. That's my answer.
Mr. J, what you got?
We're going to break this down into two categories. Basically, a lot of the commercial acts are doing a lot of it for popularity because they're trying to get paid. You may have more on the flip side on the underground and independent scene doing it for integrity because, you know, the money isn't necessarily there for them to do it for the popularity. I think a lot of what's going on right now, and we kind of spoke on it, you know, with him talking about, you know, people acting gangster, acting like they're from the streets. That's because, you know, the labels are pushing that. That's what they feel like.
Gangster acting like they're from the streets.
That's what they feel like, you know, what's moving. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, you have a whole swath of people who are moving to other genres or just delving into underground stuff even deeper because they want to hear something different. So a lot of this is, you know, I don't want to say it's 50-50. I think on the commercial level, it's 70-30. On the independent level, it might be 30-70. So
what you think, Trail?
I mean, I think it's all for popularity because, you know what I'm saying, like, if you listen to the music, you know what I'm saying, you could tell somebody that's in it for the art form and versus somebody that's trying to regurgitate what's going on right now. I mean, it's just obvious. So, I mean, it's real simple. I mean, most people just trying to do this shit for, you know what I'm saying, like, popularity and they trying to imitate their favorite rapper or shit like that. Like, you know, I mean, to me, it's 90%, it's 95%. Matter of fact, 98%. Just popularity, and then 2% people that really respects the art form. I mean, it's just that simple because, you know, like, you don't hear nothing that really inspires you. I mean, yeah, I mean, what do you hear that inspires you? Both of y'all.
Not much nowadays.
Exactly. It goes back to what we were talking about with the streaming, you know what I'm saying, the streaming topic last week. It's like, you know, everybody's chasing, like, you know what I'm saying, they're going on, you know what I'm saying, whatever streaming service they on and see who's number one. Okay, I'm going to try to make a song like that. It's no inspiration, man. You know what I mean? It's just, it's bullshit. It's a bunch of bullshit. Like I said, I mean, I don't listen to a lot of stuff. Sometimes y'all drop names to me, I'd be like who? Like, I don't even know who they are. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a bunch of repetition, regurgitation of something they done heard before. Like, you know, so, I mean, it's just garbage.
I definitely think it's popularity. I think nowadays, like, some of these cats that are making it that are really basic and made it where anybody thinks they can make it in the music business.
And that's why we have so much bullshit coming our way.
I think anybody thinks they can make it because there's basic rappers making it, but they don't understand, like, the marketing and the grind and everything behind it. You know, I don't think there's a lot of music integrity. I think cats are chasing Spotify numbers and streams and Apple streams and YouTube plays. And it's just all about views, likes, comments, and that's it. It's all about numbers. It's like the NBA. It's an analytics game.
Exactly.
Well, look, we got two more topics, and we got the guest we're about to bring on. We're going to get to a quick Dizzle break, and we're going to get to his topic. We got True Raw about to come on here real soon. And we're going to get this quick Dizzle break, and we'll be right back.
Tropical Chase. Stop!
I'm going to step out for a second.
What's good? We back live from Vietnam. Had to run to the bathroom real quick, fellas. We about to bring on True Raw. How you doing, man?
What's happening? What's happening with you, bro?
I see you had this post we want to talk about. And we put up on the screen. You said, I still ain't heard nobody in town make a better song than Murray. You Take God was supposed to be on here. He said we should have you on so you could give your perspective on that.
Okay. So, well, I mean, like I said, everybody was buddy-buddy with bro, right? And then I seen it with my own eyes. I know people that know this dude personally or whatever, right? Everybody turned on bro. They turned on bro. And I'm like, damn, okay. So y'all in competition. So I'm like, boom. I listen to the radio every day. I got a module out on my car or whatever. So I have to listen. I'm forced to listen to the radio. I'm like, damn. I thought about it. I'm like, damn. I still ain't heard about this deal on Fox 99.
Now, when you say better, can you explain what you mean by better?
When I say better, I mean like on the radio. Like that's just
on the radio.
On the radio.
So you mean hit song, right?
Yeah, a hit. Exactly. Yeah, a hit.
You haven't heard nobody that's made a hit song like Murray.
I haven't heard nobody. I see people chase it, but okay. I haven't heard potential. I think people are so overzealous with themselves. They make a track, and they're so eager to perform it because they finish a song or whatever. And it's just like they don't analyze it, they don't think, they don't sit there and, you know, get opinions from their closest people, because everybody is so like egotistical about themselves, I guess, like big headed. They record a record, they go performing in the club, and they feel like everybody fucking with it, but in reality, it never even had potential in the first place. It didn't. That's my issue with music, with people working with people local. Period. Everybody is so big-headed, bro. It's just like, just because you did it don't mean it's good. You can paint a car, right? But if it got lumps in it, just because you painted it, you know, it's your first, second car you painted, don't mean it's a good paint job. That's just my thing. That's my
thing. So it sounds like to me that a lot of these cats in town got yes men around them.
Yes.
They just say Fact. Yes to everything. They don't Fact. Like, yo, criticize the music. Like, yo, this ain't the one. And we've always said that. You got to have real friends around you that be like, yo, dog, this really ain't it. It ain't hitting. Mr. J, what do you think about this?
I think this is the topic that always irritates me, because the reality is everybody's searching for whatever's going on in the city, and y'all need to be figuring out what you're doing outside the city and outside the state. I've had stuff, you know, just keep it a buck. I've had songs played in France. I've had songs played in Australia. I've had songs played in the UK. And I still hear people talking about, you know, it's not played on 99.1. I've had songs played on 99.1. Our group, The Empire, was number 6 or something like that in the top 10s of 99 and independent 99. On 99.1, and we were like in the top 5 on 104 in that same year or the year after. So a guy once told me, you got 6 months to move whatever you're moving outside the area. You know, go to Raleigh, go to Charlotte. But even beyond that, you got to go to, you know, go outside the state. I see a lot of people talking about, you know, what people are doing inside the city, what they're not doing inside the city, whether they're big or not big, what kind of money they're getting. A lot of that is just, to me, is BS conversation, because you're not not truly networking with a lot of other individuals. You're not truly figuring out what can y'all do to collaborate. What's five things, just, you know, without any money being involved, that you could do that will give you some kind of impact?
Yeah, his phone died.
And we just lost him. So it's just me and you. So I agree with you as far as, I figured that's what you was talking about, like hit records and whatnot. Like,
see, I hate to cut you off. See, don't get it twisted. I understand networking. I lived on the West Coast for 4 years of my life, in my adult years, right? Bro, I was on a music scene like a motherfucker. You feel me? Bro, it's deep. It's you have to get with other creatives to be creative. You know what I'm saying? When everybody's making music, these people will rather shut you out and feel like they about to cut you off versus, okay, let's see what his perspective is. Or no, they're not going to do that. They're going to like literally do everything in their power, and even as far as hurt you, to cut you out of the music loop. You understand me? That's where I'm coming from. Everybody got this mindset. They got their crews and stuff. It's so competitive. I understand that it's supposed to be a competitive market. But, bro, this is the country. This is the South. We had to fight to even get in the music business. That's my thing. Like,
now, how long you been in the Ville?
I've been in the Ville. I was born and raised here.
Okay, so it's been like that our whole time, though, right?
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Like, why do you think that we can't work together? And
because when one dude, I'm going to tell you all it takes is this right here. When one dude go like this, the next one going to try to get up there with you and try to bring you back down. That's just what it is. That's just like the
crabs in a barrel.
Yes. It's a, yeah, because you can't even be creative, because you might wake up tomorrow and go to the studio, all your shit going to be gone. And I've had that happen.
Believe me, I've heard people get robbed.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm rambling, but yeah.
Now, you good? You good?
I've heard that story twice, at least two or three different times. People get their studios robbed and, you know, people come in and take their stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. Look, the reality is, I guess somebody didn't like my conversation. That's why they jerked me off of here. But the reality is, you're going to be moving further, faster with 10 than you will with one.
Thank you.
So the reality becomes, we honestly need like a city summit. Mm-hmm. All the OGs, all the people, mm-hmm. all the artists need to mm-hmm. be able to sit down together and basically mm-hmm. create a pact, create a some rules and regulations, some things that we could agree on how to deal with each other, how to work with each other, because it's worked in other places. When things started going out of hand and on the West Coast, Snoop called a summit.
Yep.
Everybody had to sit down and had to hash out whatever issues they had and be able to come together. And a lot of collaboration came out of that pact. I mean, this is how movements are built. New York, the birthplace, people had to go to different places and work together and pull all their resources together in order for something to happen. Same thing in the South. People had to kind of pull their resources together to be able to collaborate together for something to happen. It's got to happen here.
Well, I ain't seeing that. And like I posted something.
Like I said, we had to have a summit. We have to have
everybody playing a part, man. And it seems like everybody's trying to play the same part.
That's why we got to have a sit down. People got to be able to hash out what they're doing.
It's just too much repetition and too much. It's competition for nothing because. Okay.
Yep.
Let me say this. Everybody's definition of success is different.
Yes.
Right.
100%.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? That's the big thing. Like, some people are not motivated to work with you because they feel like you already own. You know, you trying to get to where they get into, and then when they get to where you get into, they gonna quit. How are you supposed to work with people like that?
Like I said, that's what we need. That's what we need. That's why we need that sit down. That's why we need that sit down. That's why we need a moderator. That's why we need some real stuff.
I hear a lot of Vietnam, a lot of but I don't hear a lot of let's, you know, work together.
Nah. Because guess what? He going to charge me and you $600, but he going to charge bruh $300. How are we supposed to work, bro?
We got one more topic. You want to stay on this for one? True Raw, we got one more topic we got to get into. You want to stay on with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right, so James Blake exposes how last week we talked about how music streaming is brainwashed the artists. Now we're going to talk about how it's brainwashed the fans into thinking music is free.
Lord have mercy.
Mr. J, you want to start this one off? Did you watch that video I sent you?
Yeah. And this is something from long before he even mentioned that. There are certain artists who have said that. I mean, and most of it is in the rock, like the rock genre. That's why when you first started up Napster, there were certain people who were on it, like, you know, yeah, we're going to give it away free because this, that, and the other. You know, we can go out here and tour, and we can go out here and do this. This thing or that thing or sell merch. The reality is everything costs money. So no, nothing's free. Nothing's, you know, you can't just give away everything. I think certain fans have gotten, you know, brainwashed, not necessarily everybody, because there are certain people who are looking for quality music, looking for quality hip hop, looking for lyricism, and they're willing to pay the price to go get it or go see it. Now you have maybe a newer generation where there may be a more of a majority of folks who may seem like they want that free, but they're looking at the commercial quality that they're getting and they say, I'm not going to pay for that. Now, if you got a different value or a different quality of music, then they're probably going to go and invest in that because they hear something different. That's where, you know, major labels are shooting themselves in the foot. They want to put certain people out in the forefront and they're not putting out quality music. They're thinking that this is what's selling and the actual people are telling them something different. But
so True Raw, what you think? You think music streaming is brainwashed the fans into thinking the music is free?
Okay, it's a lot of brainwashing that's been going on for years. Besides, even people thinking that music is free, right? Just like even with quality, a lot of albums that we grew up on that we listened to had the most trashiest mixes ever, but that was the best music they ever made. Some of the best top.
I agree.
You feel what I'm saying? So even down to Pro Tools, how does it not, where does the brainwashing stop? It never stops.
Yeah.
They stick you to one route when there's so many DAWs you can use to record a quality album, but the standard is Pro Tools consoles. It's all brainwashing, really. It's all to a certain degree. It's all just, they had to brainwash the artists and the producers to brainwash the consumers.
Exactly.
Because if you're using Pro Tools and you're using top quality monitors, using top quality PCs, top quality, you know, everything, even the drum kits, right? Bro, you already, like, you working with like 20K. So how is it? That music is never going to be free. It's the marketing that they get on the back end. It's all a marketing point, like, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. It's like it's all brainwashed back to the beginning, bro. Like,
so basically what you're kind of saying is they care more about the quality of the recording than the quality of the music.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Which is is really backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, back in the days, all the great music wasn't really great quality recordings. I mean, we know Dr. Dre set the standards on, like, a lot of shit with the Sonics and how clear his Chronic album was.
how many hood dudes did you know that you could use gear like that? Output and input, output and input. There wasn't.
It's crazy, right? Do that. That's crazy.
So it was always limited from the beginning. Like, it's nuts, bro. Like, people really are really like, they don't know how small the window for music was. And now, like you said, they made all technology made it to where everybody can make music.
Yeah. They made it easier.
There's no
anybody
fun.
Thinks they could do it.
Exactly.
It's not true. And it's not true, bro. Because, like I said, I start off at the arms. Bro, if that's your mindset, man, you're going to spend a lot of money trying to get to where you're going if you don't really learn how this stuff works, you know?
That's crazy. Well, we're about to wrap it up. We're going to get into these shout outs. True Raw, you got somebody you want to shout out? Anything you want to shout out?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shout out my boy, Goddamn Music God. Shout out that boy, Goddamn Mini Kid. You heard me? Shout out that boy, my boy, my cousin, Arsenio the Dreamer. You know, everybody else, I'm going to cut it short. No, but I love everybody, man. You know,
Mr. J, you got any shout outs for me?
Shout out to Ty Brule. He just got that drop done for me. Hopefully we'll be able to show it, the trailer on this show sometime soon for the Underground Experience. Shout out to everybody on the show. Shout out to Fat. Shout out to Mixtape Addict. I see he just got a deal done. So we're definitely going to be networking with him and doing some things. Like I said, the Underground Experience Funder is still going. Go to empiremusic.com, www.empiremusic, music spelled M-U-S-I-Q. Go check out that funder. Tap in so we can go ahead and get this film finished up and let it be what it needs to be to show love to the whole 2-6 and see hip hop community at large.
That's
one heartbeat
up.
Away. One heartbeat away. Streaming right now.
And shouts out to Drug Beats for coming on for the interview tonight. We're gonna definitely chop up some clips for y'all. And check us out tomorrow. We got about 12 songs. Me and Trill and Noise Tracks gonna review of all genres, 5 p.m. Eastern. And we're gonna start the sports section. Sports edition, Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern. Right, anything y'all want to say before we go?
Hey, just tap in with me on Facebook, man. Too Raw, TUURAWW. Anybody want to tap in with me? Clip me on this too, bro. And just, you know, chop it up so I can share it on my side. On my side too.
I got you. I got you. Yes, definitely appreciate you coming on too.
Oh yeah, appreciate you, man, having me, man. For real, man. I really do appreciate it, man.
And we out. Peace.
Yes, sir.
Beats by Trill, straight killer Ville, dog.